Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. Loaded up today. We'll get into some of the news and notes on the Florida job, on Gary Patterson, big game Bob Stoops, all targets or names perhaps on your short list. If you're a Nebraska fan, and we are excited to have Jerry DiNardo coming up in 15 minutes. Get coach's thoughts on the Big Ten weekend, on Nebraska-Minnesota, and his thoughts as to being a consultant when it comes to helping with coaching searches and hires. Coach DiNardo does that. Next hour, it is Thursday, which means Colton is wearing his Colorado Buffalo sweatshirt. Gary Barnett going to be with us in 1 hour. And then we'll run down Dean Blevins, former Sooner, part of the Sports Animal down in Oklahoma City, and also part of News 9 in Oklahoma City. Get his thoughts on not just the Nebraska job, but there's a number of really good coaches in the Big 12 that could be moving on. It is 20 years to the day that Scott Frost went hacky sack off of Chevin Wiggins Adidas, and it landed into the arms of a hustling, talented wideout from Tecumseh, Matt Davidson, 20 years. We'll catch up with Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity this hour, get his take on where he was, where were you, during that miracle in Mizzou. We'll also talk to Babbers about Nebraska's weekend. Can tap the line 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, and can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Well, down in Houston, it's CBS Radio. Mark Ryan does a show down in Houston, and he's also a Florida graduate. So I saw this earlier in the day, and I saw some reaction on social media, and I thought about Nebraska fans, what your reaction is to this tweet from a very reliable source. UF has reached out to representatives of Bob Stoops, Chip Kelly, and Charlie Strong to gauge interest in becoming the next Gators head coach. Those are believed to be Florida's top choices. Not on that list is Scott Frost, which means if he's not on the list, that maybe Nebraska's got a better than good chance to get him, if that's the direction they go. Again, couching everything by saying if that's the direction they choose to go. Well, it was a matter of time before Scott Strickland put out his public service announcement. Scott Strickland's the athletic director at Florida in response to Mark Ryan's tweet. Believe only half of what you see and nothing what you hear. Edgar Allan Poe. So A.D. Strickland swiftly took down the Houston host. But hey, the guy was... Everyone's got a source. Everyone's got a guy. Everyone's got somebody they knew. So we'll talk to the man who sat next to Bob Stoops for 18 years as the host of the Bob Stoops Show, in Dean Blevins, in a little more than an hour. Is he coaching again? Does it matter? Now, let's talk Gary Patterson. Because as Gary Patterson gears up for another showdown with Oklahoma, he was doing an article and an interview with ESPN.com. Oh, man, oh, man. Were you a Back to the Future fan growing up, the movie? I was. I loved it. I saw it in the theater when I was a youth. And I saw all of them. And the term jump in the DeLorean and go back in time sounds pretty cool. Or time travel ahead, and we could see who Nebraska's next coach will be after Mike Riley this season or whenever that happens. And we could sound pretty awesome, right? Well, if you could go back in time, Nebraska had a shot and an interview with Gary Patterson. Was it TCU? Gary Patterson was interviewed at Tennessee. Gary Patterson was passed over for by Lane Kiffin and Bo Pelini. Is it fair to rewrite history and say what could have been if you make that hire to get Gary Patterson versus Bo Pelini? I mean, that's just something to sit and ponder. Hail Varsity Magazine did kind of the what if game 2 issues ago. What if this happens? What if this would have happened? Osborne leaving for Colorado. Nebraska beating Miami and getting the 2-point conversion. Solid still here. 74 years and strong. Fearless Frankie. Eventually a retirement here in Lincoln. There were some other instances. You could probably pick about 40 Oklahoma-Nebraska games with that. But the what if game. But what if Gary Patterson would have landed in Lincoln? Man, based on what he's done in the Big 12, you got to feel pretty good. Not that the Bo Pelini era was a failure, no. Did the window close on it? Perhaps. Did changing conferences set back the style of play and what your strength was defensively? Yes. The losing guys like Sue and Levante hurt? Yes. But Gary Patterson, man, having him. And back in that 08 search, I mean, you heard Paul Johnson, you heard Jim Grobe at Wake Forest, some guys that ran option. And then you didn't know who that other mystery candidate was. It turns out it's Gary Patterson. What stopped this hire from going through? Well, in the article, Gary Patterson talks about, you know, some of these schools, paraphrasing here, go read it yourself, but about him handling the stage. And that's a fair take. The guy's won. He's won wherever he's been. He'd been at some really, really small colleges for about 3 years. And then I think from Tennessee Tech ended up at TCU. Now, raise your hand if you were in on TCU being a power and a staple in the top 10. And this isn't a fluke. They've done it for a long time. Now, I am guilty of saying, well, man, do they just kind of go back to being TCU in the old Southwest Conference when they made the move to the Big 12? Because where were they, man? They were Conference USA. They were Mountain West. And then they jumped to the Big 12. Could they do it week in, week out versus that snapshot chance to meet Wisconsin in a Rose Bowl with the best team they ever had? 17 years, 3 losing seasons for Gary Patterson. They play defense. They're pretty physical. He's happy. They're 22-8 in the past 30 games in the Big 12. Oklahoma only better 25-5, and they hook up this weekend. Gary Patterson's making $4.7 million a year. He's got a great stadium now. There's been some investment. He ain't going anywhere, but he's not going to listen. He's a name on some of Nebraska fans' list. And it should be. Is he a guy that'll listen to somebody he didn't think was ready for the job? Here's what I believe back in 08. Turner Gill, also a phone call was made to him by Osborne. I'm going with Bo. And I think at the time when you make the choice of Bo Pelini over Gary Patterson, you have to look at where you have been. This is what I think was going on thought process-wise. TCU is not the Big 12. TCU is not the Big 10. Bo's a guy who's been to Nebraska, gets Nebraska, turned the defense around in 03. Yeah, he's fiery, but I can work with him. I'm crawling into the mind of Coach Osborne. And then you have the LSU championship. You have the championship appearances at Oklahoma. So he went with Bo Pelini. And Bo Pelini was all good with taking the recommendations from Coach Osborne. Well, you're going to probably want to have Barney Cotton back. You're probably going to want to have Ron Brown back. I mean, Bo, I don't know. Someday I'll sit down with Coach Brown and just figure out how things went. You probably want to keep Sean Watson. I mean, you probably want to get Marvin Sanders back. You want to get the band back together from 03 that was blown out. And I think that was the biggest railroad block for any outside candidate back in 2008. Was how many of your assistants are you going to bring? Are you open to some Nebraska guys being on staff as a suggestion, not a mandate? But man, if you could go back in time, you probably, knowing what you know now about how good Gary Patterson is, you'd probably make that trade and take him over Pelini, assuming that his style and system can work in the Big Ten. He's won everywhere he's been, period. Let's go to the phones. Gary, thanks for joining us here on Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
I think we ought to hire Jerry DiNardo.
Coach, we'll ask him. I'll tell him that. He's going to be on in about 7 minutes. We'll say, hey, we got to vote for Coach DiNardo coming out of retirement from Gary. But hey, I think Uncle Jerry's pretty happy.
You know, I was listening to one of the national radio broadcasts, I don't know, 2 or 3 days ago, and they were talking about Auburn. Now, Auburn's, what, number 10 in the nation about?
Yep.
And so I'm just thinking Auburn, and the conversation was, if they lose to maybe either or both Georgia and Alabama, that guy's on the hot seat. And I thought to myself, two of the top four teams in the country, and if they lose to him, his job's on the hot seat. So it just kind of puts things in perspective a little bit. I know that it's a little bit different than what we're dealing with here, but isn't that the way college sports has gone?
It is, and the thing that's unique about Gary Patterson and what Nebraska could have had, but it's a different situation where you've always been TCU. Gary's the guy that brought TCU up to prominence, and he's maintained it. They realize, respect, and love that, so they're not out for his hide if he has a 6-7 season like he did last season. Because 2 years earlier, he won the Big 12 championship, putting up 60 against Oklahoma.
Yeah. You know, Smitty, I don't know. Things have just gotten out of control.
No, they're completely out of control, but yeah. The expectation is money means wins, and that's not always the case. And you factor in the patience and time of things. Patience is in the eye of the beholder. What patience is to me isn't to you, and vice versa, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Have a good one. Tell DiNardo my vote's for him.
Okay. I will tell Uncle Jerry that.
Bye.
Gary says yes to Jerry for that vote. But, yeah, what? The one that got away, I think that's how you got to look at this and deem that. Now, listen, if you're Nebraska and you went with someone you thought could handle a program like Nebraska better, fine. If you're Tennessee and you go Lane Kiffin over Gary Patterson, I would dispute that and say there was a background check problem or something. Kidding. But I would not ever own or wear that or admit that. Yeah, that was my mistake. Forgive me. I went with Lane over Patterson. But it's funny to hear some of these stories. We'll get thoughts from Coach DiNardo on coaching searches, his work as a consultant, his thought as a analyst with the Big Ten weekend, and his take on Nebraska. And you had some good news earlier refuted by the Florida athletic director, Scott Strickland, about an inside source down at a sports radio station in Houston saying that here are your three candidates for Florida, the top three candidates being Charlie Strong, Chip Kelly, Bob Stoops, Scott Frost's name not on that list. Time will tell, man. Still got a lot of football left. Got 3 weeks till the end of this season. Oh, yes, Minnesota and Nebraska will kick off at 11, maybe in a winter wonderland with sleet and some snow. That always kind of cranks me up. When you have those snow football games and then you get it in HD. I think Ohio State played a couple years ago at Minnesota where there was a lot of snowfall. It wasn't blizzard-esque, but it was pretty picturesque. And that was always fun to see, especially with your HD. That first time it started snowing, you grab your buddies, you go out in the backyard or your neighbor's yard and play ball. I always liked doing that. All-time quarterback, yes, I was. Okay, we will get into some college football and Big Ten thoughts. Nebraska and Minnesota. Jerry DiNardo is coming up shortly. Dean Blevins, his take on Bob Stoops, if he'll ever coach again. The Florida job, some of those coaches in the Big 12 associated with the coaching carousel. Gary Barnett in an hour. Mike Babcock in 20 minutes on that miracle in Missouri. In 1997. Great to have you in on a Thursday. Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio. Dial us up 466-3776, 466-3776. You can tap the line with Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Coach DiNardo on the way.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone wearing his Colorado Buffaloes sweatshirt. We welcome in from the Big Ten Network the coach, Jerry DiNardo, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. We had a caller, Gary, a little bit ago. He said he wants to see Coach DiNardo back in coaching full time. He loves you on TV, but he wants you back in coaching.
Does he have a job?
Yeah, I think he does.
Does he have a job to offer?
I thought you were asking it. Never mind. got confused there. I don't know, but I'm sure you could consult with yourself, and that's where I want to start is the work you've been doing as a consultant in Hail Varsity. We ran a portion of the AP article with Mr. Russo on coaching searches, and that's where I want to start things off here, Coach DiNardo, and what you do and how you're kind of a liaison with programs reaching out trying to find that right fit. Tell me how you got into it and how that is going with as crazy as it gets year in, year out with the coaching carousel.
Well, first of all, I don't do a lot of it. I was with a firm a few years back, I guess several years back now. I was with a search firm, and I'm no longer with the firm. So once in a while, because I come at it a different way from search firms, that's why I'm not with the search firm. I just work by myself.
And, sure.
It's different things for different athletic directors, and again, I'm not heavily involved. But sometimes I'll have an athletic director call and ask my opinion about things or to keep an eye on things or do logistics or interact with agents, those type of things. So I'm a little non-traditional, but again, I'm not very active. I'm not active in a search right now by way of example. So it just depends.
With that said, what's some of the back channels and stories that can happen, and from a timeline standpoint, what have you observed or witnessed as to, and it varies by program and job, but what's a common timeline in your opinion? Is there kind of a data cluster, so to speak, when an AD will make a decision on a coach to move forward?
Chris, it's kind of like recruiting. I used to tell the staff, there's no two recruits that are the same. They all have different needs. They all have different things that they're looking for. And that's kind of how search is. I mean, some ADs want search people just to do logistics. Some want them to do background checks. Some want them to interact with the agents because they themselves don't want to interact with the agents. Some of the ADs want plausible deniability so that, you know, they can't be they can't say yes, I'm already looking or I have been looking. You know, it just depends. You know, some ADs don't use a search firm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's every AD is different. Every university is different.
Coach, you mentioned in the article the timeline can vary, but also the fact that when your coach is under fire versus being fired, there's a better time to start shopping, correct?
Yeah, you can make the case that if a decision has been made, you know, and of course an athletic director is going to protect him or herself and say, you know, we were 95% sure, or, you know, it could have changed, but we felt pretty good about it. And the concept is, as opposed to firing a coach while the season is still going on and then having all the fans and all the media follow the search, get the tail fin numbers of planes and
right,
where are they going, and as opposed to, you could do it that way and fire a coach during the season and then start the search, or you can start the search maybe informally so that everyone isn't chasing the search. Everyone's getting mad at you for not firing the coach. So, I mean, either way, you know, it can be two different strategies. But there's a lot to be said that if a decision's already been made but you don't act on it, to go about your business without a lot of people following you, knowing what you're doing. And for people that think that that's not the right way of doing it, I have to say, coaches know the deal, especially the amount of money people are being paid these days. And I think if a university wants to explore while still employing a coach, I don't really think there's anything wrong with that.
Jerry DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter, Big Ten Network. Coach, with Nebraska and Minnesota this weekend, both teams at 4-5. I wanted to get your thoughts on Minnesota and how their coaching transition has gone. How has year one gone for Coach Fleck when it comes to the locker room, in your opinion? They're coming off a 9-win season.
Well, you know, it's a drastic change from Jerry and Tracy. That's the first thing. I think anytime you're looking at a coaching change and you're looking at how it impacts the players, you have to look at the personalities. There's people on that team at Minnesota that may not have gone to Minnesota if PJ was the head coach, right? I mean, that's not negative against PJ. That's just the way it is. But most of the players on that roster were either attracted to the university because of Jerry Kill or Tracy Clayton. So that's one of the biggest hurdles. How's it going? Well, you know, he's different. He's not for everybody. You know, he told the team, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." He's doing things a lot differently, and he's having a lot of growing pains. Having said that, when we were there in fall camp, we didn't think they were a very talented roster, regardless of who was going to coach it.
Coach, a thought on Nebraska heading into this weekend. From a talent standpoint, Nebraska should have more talent, does have more talent, at least based on the eyes, this weekend against Minnesota. All that said, it could be and maybe some inclement weather here. Do you have a feel for the game this weekend with how it might shake out?
Well, Nebraska does have more talent. I mean, there's no doubt they have the better roster. You know, it might be a game where Nebraska can be a little bit more balanced.
Okay.
Offensively, you know, but I also think, you know, Tannelly's still probably one of their better players, and if they can't run the ball, then they're going to have to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be able to win either being balanced, being one-dimensional. Either way, they have better players. you know, Demaryius Croft is the young quarterback for Minnesota. He's, you know, he's going to be a big part of their puzzle and how he plays. You know, the Minnesota defense, I think Nebraska offense matches up, and, you know, Nebraska should certainly put themselves in position to win the game.
Coach, what are your thoughts on Iowa-Wisconsin? Does Iowa follow up just an incredible win over Ohio State with another good performance in Camp Randall? It's a tough stretch back-to-back for Iowa. It's been kind of that theme this year for a lot of the Big Ten powers when it comes to stretches of three or four consecutive major league ball games. How do you see things shaking out between Iowa and Wisconsin?
Well, I'd be really curious to see if Iowa continues their run-pass ratio on first and 10. Going into the Ohio State game, Iowa was 61% run on first and 10.
Yep.
During the game and obviously after the game, they were 60% pass on first and 10. Perhaps the most impressive thing was the first three passes Brian Ferentz called on first and 10 were incomplete, but he stayed with the game plan and they stayed balanced on first and 10. In fact, they were a little bit more pass than run. So it'll be interesting to see if they'll take that same attitude going into the Wisconsin game, because they wouldn't have beat Ohio State if they didn't do that. On the other hand, we don't know if Hornibrook can win a game because until someone stops Wisconsin's run and puts the game in the hands of Hornibrook, we're not going to know if he's good enough. So, to me, that's the whole deal. It's a little bit like Minnesota and Nebraska. A lot of it's in the hands of the both quarterbacks.
Coach, about 2 minutes here. I want your reaction, your thoughts on Coach Diaco's comments and media session from Tuesday night. His comments made about the previous coaching staff on defense. Did you see him or read him or hear him?
Okay, I've heard some of it. I'm 80 miles from my hotel in Madison, because that's where we often tailgate. I have the link of his entire press conference on my computer. I'm going to watch it when I get there. But the little bit I know, I think it's fair to say that if the problem is the players, that's nobody's business. If the problem isn't the players, then it's the coaches. That's everybody's business. And if, in fact, what I think happened, I won't know until I get to the hotel and listen to it. If it were me and I've been informed correctly, if I was the head coach, I would meet with the assistant coach that said what I think maybe was said. Do you think that was the right thing or the wrong thing? If you think it's the wrong thing, let's go up in front of the team and say it was the wrong thing and you shouldn't have said it. If it is, in fact, what you feel, I want you to know our policy on this staff is we never throw players under the bus. And that's what we're going to do. So if you made a mistake, I'm cool with that. No mistake, no learning. Let's get in front of the team and apologize, if you will. If you think it's okay to say that, it's not okay. Not on this staff.
Right. And I guess the high road is pretty much needed and required by the coaching fraternity. You don't talk bad about other staffs. Is that true publicly?
I don't know if he was talking about other staffs. Other staffs aren't the issue. These are our players.
But he was talking about the previous defensive teaching, i.e. Mark Banker.
No, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
In my first team meeting with every team that I took over, I said I never want to hear a bad word about the previous staff. In fact, I took one job and the team doctor came in to me and he was trashing the previous staff. That doctor never saw one of my players from the time he walked out of my office to wherever the hell he is right now. Okay? It's not part of what we do. It's not part of the educational process. It's not what we do on campus. This isn't professional athletics. This is college athletics. We're respectful to one another. You just really have to be careful. Everything we do, we're teaching our children how to do things. And I don't want to teach my children that I can blame somebody else or it was their fault or so on and so forth.
Coach, awesome to catch up with you. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right. Take care, Chris.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, I never get sick of hearing that from old Brent Musburger. Welcome in, historian, author, Hall of Famer, Mike Babcock of HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Babbers, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm staying warm, you know?
Yeah, it is a bit chilly out there. Where were you? I know where you were, but tell me about November 9th, 1997. Scott Frost, okay. Evan Wiggins, Matt Davidson. Can you still believe
it? Yeah. Well, now here's the funny thing. Tom Chattel and I are standing down at the on the end of the field, and and we decide that, well, you know, when that drive starts, we think maybe we ought to just get a little bit of a head start on getting up to the interview area, because at Missouri, it's kind of a mess there. There's a very small room where the coach talks, and there's a sort of a ramp thing where fans come by and they're yelling down at the reporters and so forth, and it's the opposing players. And so we thought we'd get a little bit of a start. So we start toward that, and then we look around. It's like, hey, you know, maybe we better go back down there and see what's going to go on, you know. So we walk back down to the field to see the finish of it. But we were thinking that it was probably done. And what was it, a minute and 2 seconds left, I think, when Nebraska took over. And they had no timeouts. Huskers had no timeouts. And I think Frost completed 5 of 10. Is that right? I think I looked that up.
I just remember, like, this is me, the sophomore obnoxious college student, sitting in my parents' basement, just being absolutely, you know, with the fan hat on, we're screwed. There's no way they can go 80 yards, however many yards it was, with number
67,
yeah. With 67 yards with him throwing the football. And then lo and behold, here's Kenny Cheatham for 40. you know? Well,
Here's a funny footnote to this whole thing, Smitty. You know, Nebraska has always had, you know, like two guys are going to have the same number. One's on offense, one's on defense. It's just kind of what Nebraska does. And so Eric Warfield was number three.
Right.
That's right. That was Davidson's number, right?
Yeah, both were three, right.
Yeah, so you get the official – I still have the official play-by-play. And the winning the tying touchdown was caught by Eric Warfield. it's Missouri's official play-by-play, and the receptions are credited to Eric Warfield, number three.
That's incredible.
Which is really a funny thing, you know. If you look at that, if you didn't remember the game or whatever, you pull out the play-by-play. Some reason you had it, you know. It's like, well, what? Wait a minute. No, this isn't right. You know, I thought it was Matt Davidson. So, because you know, Matt was a freshman, and so he got three on offense, and Eric had three on defense. So, under the circumstances, you would have thought, oh, there's no way Nebraska's going to get that ball down there with no timeouts. You're going to have to throw the ball on every play, and man, he hit Davidson a couple of times, and cheat him, and it was just a remarkable, remarkable drive.
Well, 20 years to the day, Nebraska, the OT win in Columbia, and kind of catapulted them onto another national championship. Mike, I got about 4 minutes here. I want a thought here. Have you ever had a quiet moment with Coach Osborne and asked him about, did you think you could win? Of course, yeah, sure. We're never out of it, right? Well, that thing was looking pretty dire. Is it one of his more memorable games? Is that one that sticks with him?
You know, I've never really talked to him about that specifically. The thing that I always remembered about that Coach Osborne, you know, it was always about the process, you know, and really the 97. The thing probably I remember most about 97, well, a couple things. The irony of 97 is that, you know, the second game of the season, Scott Frost gets booed, and they're playing Central Florida, and now he's the He's the coach there, and that's ironic.
Uh-huh.
And after that game, Turner Gill tried to say that the fans were booing him, and he didn't know why.
Mm.
And, you know, Osborne said, well, they were booing Scott, and that's inappropriate and so forth. And then the Scott's passionate plea for Nebraska to be number one in the coaches' poll after the Orange Bowl victory against Tennessee. That's the thing. That really solidified, I think, fans' attitude about him was that drive against Missouri and then the impassioned plea after the on CBS TV when he did the interview that, you know, he said, hey, the titles can be split because everybody was like, well, Michigan's going to be the AP champ. And so, but, you know, the Osborne thing, it was always about the process, you know, getting 100% effort. And they certainly got 100% effort from players that day, whether they had made the tie and came back and won in overtime or not. He would not have questioned the effort to the players put into that thing.
That was a tough environment. They're going into a good Missouri team. Mike, when you fast forward to this weekend and how you feeling about Saturday with Nebraska, I don't have to have a prediction, but I know you guys will catch up with Coach Riley here in a bit with Hail Varsity post-practice. But do you feel good about the team, or do you think it's – do you wonder about where they're at mentally? I know we've asked that question the last several weeks. There's got to be a breaking point mentally at some point. Is it this weekend, or do you think they're okay heading in to Minnesota?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they are. I think they're resilient. But, you know, I think that the Northwestern thing, I think, kind of got in their head, you know, at the end, like the here we go again thing at the end of that, because I really thought they were going to win that game. So there was no way that was going to be, the Nebraska was going to lose that game. And it got into their heads a little bit. But I don't think these kids, you know, I don't think they've tuned out. You know, I think they're still, I think they follow their coach, Mike Riley. I mean, he shows it's wearing on him, but
yeah.
But he's stayed the course. And you know, I think his players have followed that lead. So I think Nebraska will be focused and it will give a good effort. But, boy, they've got to win this game if they got any hope at all being bowl eligible.
No, absolutely. Mike Babcock with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, historian, author, Hall of Famer, 40 years of Nebraska greatness and counting, at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, will catch up later on. Thanks for the time today, and thanks for remembering the miracle in Mizzou.
Hey, keep up the good work, buddy. Always good talking to you.
Hey, bud, take care. Mike Babcock with us on Hail Varsity. How about health? How about fitness? How about wellness? How about Madonna Proactive? 56th and Pine Lake is where they're located. Individualized and personalized training options for you. Lose those pounds before or after the holiday season. Three pools, Lincoln's only aqua track. Make an appointment today to go visit Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000. Madonna Proactive. .org, where you can log on.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, winding down a quick hour. Big thanks to Jerry DiNardo and Mike Babcock. Gary Barnett, 10 minutes away. Dean Blevins on some of the coaching carousel in the Big 12. And big game Bob Stoops. Will he land? Will he go? Will he put that frosty mug down in the old press box at Owen Field, down and listen. And we got things started off with the one that got away, Gary Patterson. Still at TCU, not at Tennessee, not at Nebraska. As he interviewed for the job in 08, he says in an ESPN article they'd already decided on Bo. You can't project that things would have gone. Well, you can project that temper might be an issue. That was a concern, but you didn't know if Mountain West or Conference USA wins meant winning in the Big 12/Big 10. Well, it turns out that, yeah, you win in the Big 12. Don't know about the Big 10. We'll talk to Coach Barnett here in 10 minutes, and we have a new segment we're going to unveil at 5:40, Sounds of College Football, and it's kind of the lead up, a matchup of some of the coaches' comments Mark D'Antonio is beautiful, by the way, this weekend. And the games you're interested in. I mean, this November, this month has been incredible. Each weekend with awesome games. 11 o'clock kick on FS1, Nebraska, Minnesota. Not so much, but you might see some snow angels. Now, that, ironically, is not a mascot. The old Pirate, Mike Leach, at his press conference, asked about mascots. He told us some of his favorites this summer. He reiterated that he loves him some gorillas.
Okay, let me think here. Well, first of all, there should be more sharks if you're by an ocean. That tiger at LSU that's a live, real tiger sitting in there in some metal structure, which clearly he could rip his way out of if he wanted to, even half wanted to. That's an awesome one. The buffalo at Colorado, that's an awesome one. There's a place in Kansas called Pitt State, and I used to see it on film. We didn't play them. Called Pitt State, and they're the gorillas, and there should be a lot more gorillas for mascots, because think about it, a gorilla can whip a lot of stuff, you know. So then the students and everybody, when it came time for the opponent to come out, they play Welcome to the Jungle, just blaring Welcome to the Jungle. Then the visiting team would come through the tunnel, and they'd all be hurling bananas at the visiting team. You'd see bananas everywhere, bananas bouncing off helmets, bananas just flying through the air. And that was Welcome to Pitt State, because you're about to play the gorillas. How about that?
How about that, Mike? That was good stuff. Duck and cover. We never endorse throwing debris at the opposing team. But if you're the gorillas, you can throw bananas. How much do you believe the CBS radio report in Houston that Florida has narrowed their search to just three? Three being Bob Stoops, Charlie Strong. I'm missing a third. Oh, yeah, Chip Kelly. Down in Gatorland. Scott Frost not on that list. Don't believe what you read or see, says the athletic director at Florida in response to that. Glimmer of hope that maybe Florida's moved on from Frost. Not a specific name or timeline given for Florida, nor for Nebraska. Good stuff from Coach DiNardo on coaching searches and being a part of that consultant lifestyle. Gary Barnett on the way next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone in his Buffalo sweatshirt producing. Man who used to have, may still have them, I don't know, some Colorado sweatshirts, some Northwestern gear. Gary Barnett kicks off Hour 2. Coach, you still got a Buff pullover?
I do. Well, I work for them now, so I get swag, you know, I get some stuff.
Well, I know, you're part of the Buff Radio Network. I think Colton, when did you get yours? Was that on a recruit? You didn't recruit. It was a visit for journalism, right?
Yeah. 2014, I think, was when I got it.
Okay. Well, there
good
you
trip,
go.
Colton.
Yeah, I mean, I like the school, and I like the place. But
you brought
back
brownies, Coach. That's all I'm saying.
I just wasn't a huge fan of the program and some of the things I heard, but I mean, it was a beautiful place and I would have loved to go, but it was also cheaper to stay here.
Now he's stuck working for me in radio.
Yeah, see where it put you? You could have had a degree from Colorado. You could own that station.
Oh, wow. All right. Gary Barnett's with us. Coach, what a week it's been. Thanks for a few minutes with us, and I wanted to spend some time here talking coaching carousel, and you hear a lot about what fans want, what ADs want in a coach, right? That's one side of the aisle. But what do coaches want in a program? I mean, when you were looking, what were you interested in, and that was a separator for you?
Well, the two searches that I was involved with, one Northwestern is, you know, I was a coordinator and a chance to get a head coaching job in a Big Ten school was, you know, that's really hard to do as a coordinator. So Coach McCartney convinced me to take that job against my better judgment.
Okay.
And so I did. So that was completely different. You know, when I went to, back to Colorado, it was because it was home. Mm-hmm. It's where I'd spent my most of my coaching life. So, and then after that, then after my separation from Colorado in 2005, after the 2005 season, then when I looked, it came down to the athletic director and to the president. So whether or not they were both going to be in that trench with me, that foxhole, or whether they were going to be up on top looking down saying, go get them.
Mm-hmm.
you want somebody that's in there with you and somebody that you can really relate to and somebody you can talk to and understands the situation and understands everything you're going to go through, understands the whole coaching and coaching family situation. And so for me, that's what I wanted. You know, resources were always important to some degree, but more than anything was leadership and whether or not that leadership was something was such that I felt like they were in that foxhole with me.
When it comes to back channels and coaching searches and trying to zero in on your top target, your second target, a thought here, does that get back to a guy who might be a coach that, yeah, your job's going to be open? Is it kept hush-hush pretty good? And, I mean, how much heads-up is given within that coaching fraternity if you're hearing things about a peer you really care about?
Well, I don't think right now, unless you're best friends, there's not a lot of chatter going on. You know, anymore, all these coaches have agents.
You're right.
And most schools go through search firms. And so everything's being done through those two so that there's plausible deniability by the school and plausible deniability by any coach that they've been contacted or talked to about anything. And, you know, it can be a huge distraction this time of year, and it can distract the coach, but then once it becomes public, then it can distract your assistant coaches and it can distract your team. You know, it's one of those things that if you let it into your life, it can eat you up, and it can eat up your season, the rest of your season. So it's something you have to be really careful with, and there's no way to avoid it. It's just the way it goes. You know, and until they get antitrust laws and laws that say you can't contact a coach, no one can contact him like the NFL does. And of course, I don't think you'll ever get there because we're talking about public educational institutions. We're not talking about businesses. So it's really convoluted. It's back-channeled, as you said. It's sort of ugly. It's messy. And it's unregulated. There's nothing that can happen or nothing that anyone can do about it. So it's, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's unfair, I think, to the kids and other coaches and in the whole situation.
I want to talk about Les Miles. Just saw him on the Big Ten Network and saw a story in the AP that he was interested or something was floated out there about Oregon State. And what's your read on Les? And from an age standpoint, is his age, because I think he's same age as Coach Riley and a little bit younger than you still, is that a detractor for an AD, or is it, if this is a really good guy and Les has won a lot everywhere he's been, let's go get him, age be damned? What's your reaction and thought on his future?
Well, first of all, Moses is younger than I am. So, you know, Les, I think Les is going to go coach again. He's not going to go to Oregon State. Les is going to go coach where he can win and where he's got a recruiting base. And that's he's lived in that life, you know, either at Oklahoma State or in LSU. He's lived in a life where he could make a difference in recruiting. He's a good recruiter, but he needs a recruiting base. And, you know, he didn't have to leave home and Baton Rouge. And he didn't have to go but to Dallas when he was in Oklahoma State. You know, and his kids are out of school. He's got a daughter that's still in high school.
His boy's at Nebraska as a freshman.
Right, and he's got a son at North Carolina that's a backup quarterback. So he's not an empty nester yet. And, you know, all that's going to come into place. Les didn't leave Baton Rouge because his daughter's in school there, and they want her to finish there. So that's, you know, you got to throw that into the mix. Mm-hmm. You know, where's a good fit for Les? I don't know. You asked me whether or not ADs would consider his age. You know, and I think that to some extent they might. I mean, let's just take Nebraska. They hired a guy that age, mm-hmm. and it hasn't worked out. Whether they associate that not working out to the age piece, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably up for the pundits to talk about. But and let's also remember that Mike Riley's still a head football coach there, and I don't want to in any way undercut that, because I respect and like Mike Riley so much. Mm-hmm. But I think Les's next move will be someplace where he's had a similar situation where two places that were successful, and I think he's going to look for the same kind of environment.
Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What do you feel about Stoops? Do you think he's just all good, staying in the press box, doing his thing, or do you think he'll get the itch again?
Oh, I think he's pretty good right now. I think he's in a good place. Mm-hmm. He may get the itch, you know, because I think everybody does. I don't know very many guys that have been able to walk away and then not get the itch. It's just, you know, it's a lifetime ailment. You know, it doesn't go away.
You call it an ailment, huh?
It's an ailment. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like shingles. It's always in there. So I guarantee you this time of year, you know, just his skin starts itching. But I don't know. And I haven't talked to Bobby since he quit, but mm-hmm. Or since he retired. Mm-hmm. He's an Ohio guy. You know, he could surface again somewhere. But right now I think he's pretty happy.
Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I got to ask you a rib question before we get into the rapid fire and pick 'em. What's the coldest you've smoked ribs, temperature-wise?
Oh, you mean the lowest temperature?
Yeah. I mean, let me make this sure I'm being accurate here. The outdoor temperature, not the slow and low. Oh. Keep it below. I'm trying to work in some ribs this weekend, is what I'm saying.
Probably in the 50s.
Okay. Okay.
I think when it gets too cold, I think you gotta make some adjustment. I just don't know what they are, but whether or not your smoke can stay hot enough during that situation, I don't know.
Okay.
It seemed like to me you'd have to cook them a little longer.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Let's get into some rapid fire and your thoughts on the weekend. Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Cyclones are home dogs. Okie State -6.5.
You know, I got a pull for Iowa State in this game, but if you made me bet, I'd have to go with Oklahoma State. But, you know, Oklahoma State had to play a big emotional game last week. Mm-hmm. But that quarterback's been the most consistent quarterback of all of them, I think. So, you know, I got to think Oklahoma State goes in there and still ekes out a win.
How about Sparty at Ohio State? Ohio State -17.
Well, I just don't think Sparty's got enough firepower to stay with him. I mean, I can't imagine.
Yeah, but does Barrett go good Barrett or bad Barrett against that defense?
Well, you know? Yeah, I don't know. But the game last week was, I don't think anybody saw that one coming. And Michigan State's certainly playing better. But it's at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Urban loses this one, he's going to get real sick again and probably have to quit for a couple of years. Go back to the ESPN gig.
But, wow.
I can't imagine Ohio State losing this game.
That's so good. Georgia and Auburn. The Dogs versus War Eagle, -2.5. I think I've heard that three guys might be out or questionable for Georgia on their offensive line.
Well, if that's true, I think they still win. But this could be a great football game, I think. And Stidham sort of coming into his own now on offense. And defensively, Auburn's been really good anyway. But, this is a great matchup. This whole weekend is just a great weekend to watch football. And, I think if there's three guys out for Georgia, then I think Auburn might win this thing.
Mm-hmm. How about Iowa? What a job Kirk did, and now it's off to their rival, Wisconsin. Whiskey's -12.5.
Well, they are, but they lose the receiver. And,
yeah, he's bad.
I don't know how they're doing what they're doing, but they did it. And what a show they put on last week. Saw the fake field goal was a great play. But, I just got to feel Wisconsin's they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah, right.
And one receiver's not going to make that much difference. So I got to feel Wisconsin win. It's at Wisconsin. That's a hard place to play. So I'm going with Wisconsin.
All right, Bama at Mississippi State, tied
Bama.
Okay, you just cut me off. That's fine.
Yeah. Don't waste any time on that one.
All right, Notre Dame, Miami. Remember the old Catholics versus the convicts years?
That's a great game, but... I watched Notre Dame last week, and that quarterback can play.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame in this game. Even though, I think Miami's become a tough place to play, and they got a lot going for them, but I think Notre Dame's a real deal team.
Last thought here, TCU, Oklahoma, OU -6.5.
First time they played a defense for a while, except Iowa State, and Iowa State defended them very nicely. Mayfield's on a run, but I don't trust Kenny Hill in these games, okay. So I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Nebraska, Minnesota, Gophers -2.5.
Oh, boy. The Gophers really don't have a quarterback, and Nebraska really doesn't seem to have a defense. So it's close. It's at Minnesota. I don't think it's a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
Can they find a running game for this game?
Got to do it.
Got to do it. If they find a running game, they win. If not, Minnesota.
Coach, I've got like 45 seconds. Did you see or hear what Diaco said this week, or was that kind of off?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Well, I will ask you about it next week if you get a chance to. I can send you a link to his Tuesday media session. And for lack of a better term, you could insinuate he was blaming the previous defensive coaches for the type of tackling. That's how I feel. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So
it could be the Russians.
Yeah, could be the Russians. Could be the Russians. Coach, I'll let you be. Enjoy your warm weather down there in Zona, my friend.
It is nice today. 82, buddy. So talk to you later, Chris.
Take care, Coach. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Urban might get sick again. Did we hear that? That's funny. That's so good. When you're going out tonight, if you're going to have a couple, find that sober ride home. Don't drink and drive. You do so, you lose. You get a DWI, could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and you'll be required to install that interlock device to your vehicle. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We'll head down to Norman and Oklahoma City. College football thoughts. Dean Blevins. A little Sooner Magic on the way. His thoughts on the Nebraska job as well.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's head down to Soonerland and News 9 and great sports director down in Oklahoma City, former Sooner. I call him the author of Sooner Magic. It is Dean Blevins back with us, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing better hearing that intro. I like that. The author of Sooner Magic. It's hard to go wrong with that. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's hard to go wrong from my end. Wow.
Well, I remember the rally. I don't remember what I was told about the rally, but hey, it's all good. Dean, great to speak with you. And wanted to start off here, and you hosted the Bob Stoops Show for a number of years. You know Coach Stoops, and there's reports out there from a Houston radio station about Stoops being on the target list for Florida. I've heard 1,000 things this week that Frost in Florida, good to go. Frost in Nebraska, you know that is out there. But with Coach Stoops, what's your take? What's your gut say about him wanting to get back into coaching?
Well, Bob has told me that he will never do it, and Lincoln Riley has told me at least twice that the way he phrased it the first time was, no, he'll never coach again. And I think he may have even said Bob told him that. And then the other time he said, I feel strongly that he'll never coach again. Now, if there is a job out there where he would go, I would think that it would be Florida. He still has ties down there. His kids are getting out of school this year, his boys. So I would say that this would be the one place that he would go. So I'll hedge my bet a little bit. Normally I would just say unequivocally no, but this has been the one that I've thought about that would be the most attractive to him. I guess that if Jerry Jones or some type of deal came about that the NFL might look appealing to him. But when he got out, he got out. I mean, he was spent, and he's enjoyed the time off. I guess we'll find out how much if he ends up going. Maybe he didn't enjoy it quite as much. But I would be very surprised. So that's as close as I can get to you. I can quote you Bob Stoops to me and what Lincoln Riley said, and beyond that, that's my steam.
You know, if Spurrier's still involved heavily with Florida, I think the administration listens to him a lot, and I think that would be a bit of a pull as well. But you know better than all with Bob, and he looks like he's having a heck of a good time in the press box from the camera shots.
Yeah, I think generally he's had a couple of Budweisers when the shots have been on him throughout. So let's be honest about that. You know, it's interesting you bring up Spurrier, because I guarantee you that those two have joked about, hey, why don't we go as a tandem and go tear it up?
Wow.
And who knows? My goodness, can you imagine what that tandem would do? Now, saying that and doing that are two different things. But I can guarantee you they've at least that's come up before.
That's very intriguing, and wow.
I don't want to be misquoted as saying that Bob Stoops and Coach Spurrier have had serious conversations and that they may go as a package. I am not saying that, but I am saying, knowing those two pretty well, I can imagine those conversations. And if they were younger, hey, go get it. That would be an unbeatable duo.
Dean Blevins with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, a thought here on some of the coaches in the Big 12. We'll get your thoughts on TCU and Oklahoma here in a minute, but we just hit on Stoops. You look at Matt Campbell, what he's done at Iowa State, Gundy at Oklahoma State, and Gary Patterson. Would it surprise you if any of them made a move this year? Maybe not Campbell, but the other two. What's your read on the stability within the Big 12 with some really good coaches?
Well, you have to tell me what school. I assume you're talking about Nebraska.
I'm just talking in general. There's so many openings that are likely to happen, you can lump Nebraska into that. I was just saying in general, if someone knocked on Matt Campbell's door, on Gundy's door, on Gary Patterson's door, Nebraska did that back in 08, and they chose Bo Pelini. Gary Patterson telling ESPN.com that today. How comfortable are these guys in the Big 12 staying there, or do you think there's a wandering eye?
Well, I can't speak for Matt Campbell. I think that he's a guy that Nebraska would be fortunate to get. I just don't know that he would turn his back so quickly on Iowa State. My initial take, this is just a gut feel, would be no. And no offense to Nebraska, it isn't that. It's a loyalty to, you know, stick in there a little bit. But he would be wise to skedaddle now and cash in. And he's going to win wherever he goes. He's that good a coach and has that good a character. So I think that's a real possibility. With Mike Gundy, he's a different cat ever since he signed that contract extension. I think that Mike Holder isn't going to be around much longer, the athletic director, and that's a guy that he hasn't gotten along with much at all. They apparently have kissed and made up, but I don't believe that very much. Boone Pickens, though, was even, you know, he wrote him a letter and was complimentary, or a note, and was complimentary about their performance in Bedlam, when Boone heretofore has always been, win Bedlam, beat Oklahoma, that's what all this is about. So seeing Mike leave now would surprise me, but for a guy that has a mullet and runs around with rattlesnakes and rattlesnake hunters and takes off his shirt in front of 7,000 people in an arena with his quarterback, to say that he's unpredictable is to do that word injustice.
Gary Patterson is extremely happy at TCU. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes, he's very happy there. Gary's the kind of guy that if he felt offended by being bypassed one time, he's got the personality. I know Gary, and I like him, but he's got the kind of personality that would hold that against a school. He's revered there. And since his teams do play defense, he's always going to win a bunch of games in the Big 12 Conference. I don't know, you know, as crazy as this sounds right now, who would have thought that the conversation would be about, would Gary Patterson leave, you know, say we're 20 years ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago, would Gary Patterson leave little old TCU for Mammoth, Nebraska? Well, yeah, he'd be like Eddie Sutton crawling from Lexington or from Stillwater to Lexington, you know, or Fayetteville, I guess, at the time, to Lexington to take over the Kentucky basketball job. But now it's a different deal. And you know how I love and appreciate Cornhusker history, but the future of it is not as certain as it is with the school that he would probably want to go to. So I don't think that would work necessarily with Nebraska.
No, it's a different job. It's a hard job. You're in the Big Ten West, but it's a winnable West. But you're still, you look miles apart from some of those big dogs in the East. Dean, I know you got to get out here shortly. Your thoughts on Oklahoma TCU this weekend?
I think the Sooners are going to have to really play well to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if it's lower scoring than some of these crazy numbers we've had lately. I had it 38-34 Oklahoma. I think the Baker Mayfield factor is too big. I think he's quite a bit better than Kenny Hill and tested more than Kenny Hill. This is going to be, there's been one game here where I felt the crowd really had an impact, and that was when Mike Leach and Texas Tech rolled in as the number two team in the country in 2008, and Bradford and the guys shredded them, but the crowd was a big, big factor, and Baker Mayfield called them out, and it's kind of been a public deal here. So what your people in Nebraska will see on Saturday is a crazy stadium atmosphere. I think that'll be a factor in the game too, but I think Baker Mayfield either solidifies the Heisman in this game, but there's a way that he goes out against what Lincoln Riley calls the best defense in America. There's a chance that he goes out, throws a couple of interceptions, and Oklahoma loses that game, and all of a sudden, in a year where it seems wide open for him to take it, it may not be an easy choice for Heisman. I like the Sooners in the game for several reasons, and those are a couple of them. It has to start with Baker Mayfield and his advantage at quarterback, though.
Who could pass Baker, even if he has a bad game? He's had so many good games.
Yeah, I don't know. This field is I've been voting on the Heisman since 1982, and aside from Baker Mayfield, these contenders are as weak, and I'm speaking relatively weak, as I can remember. But you give him a loss, the way the media reacts these days, it's a different world we're living in, not only politically, but even in something like the Heisman.
Dean, a last thought. Is this the preview of the Big 12 championship game, TCU-OU?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. They are definitely the two best. I think it's very possible that the Big 12 will have shot itself in the foot. I don't think they should have brought this title game back, because I think that it will be ironic when one of these two wins the first one and the other one wins the second one. I'm afraid that that's going to happen.
Well, Sooner Insider, Dean Blevins, News 9, Oklahoma City, Sports Animal Radio, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, be good. We'll catch up soon, my friend.
Okay, bud. Take care.
There he is, Dean Blevins, with us. His thoughts on Gary Patterson, some of the Big 12 names you hear for coaching openings, and Bob Stoops, and Stoops with Nebraska, Stoops with Florida. He's unlikely to come back, and if he were to, Florida'd be it. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity covering Nebraska practice. So Mike Riley, and we'll grab this audio tomorrow for you. No roadshow Friday. I'm very sad about that. But Mike Riley opened today's availability. This from Derek Peterson at Dr. Petey, 15, saying the Huskers had some rugby tackling drills today. That's good. Rugby tackling today. Here's what we got for Minnesota. And Antonio Reed is good to go. Aaron Williams going to travel and dress. Jalen Bradley is practiced, Gifford out, and Eric Lee is out. Okay. Rick is out to get your business, because he's great. Sauter Heyman, 0% interest financing through 2020. Think about that as the holiday season's around the corner. An extensive collection of both earth, mind, and pure-grown diamonds. 1 carat diamonds available. 1 carat, $99 down, $99 a month. Don't believe me? Go see Rick. Go see your friends. It's Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west with your friends in Grand Island. Log on, SauterHeyman.com. The sounds of college football, the week that was, on the way.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, action hero Colton Stone. So I enjoy this, and I am not going to play Jimmy the Greek when it comes to gambling advice or any other advice or commentary, but I get a kick out of some folks that Junior plays ball with, the parents. Some of them will ask me, well, who do you got this weekend? Who are you betting? And if I bet, like the last six games, I've been money. I've been perfect. So I pat myself on the back without any skin in the game here. It's like, what do you want? Seattle and Zona. You'll hear that tonight on many of the Hail Varsity Network stations as you got Thursday Night Football. And I know Seattle's the buzzword for my family because they both are front-running bandwagon jumpers since Russell's Super Bowl. That said, they are the hardest team in the league to watch, aside from that scoring explosion against the Texans 2 weeks ago. You watch Seattle, you watch whoever the hell's playing quarterback for Carson Palmer, you're going to get a 13-10 game tonight, and it's going to suck. Still listen to it. Maybe some action would help you listen to that, but don't go near it tonight at all, okay? For entertainment purposes only, and just sound wise advice. That's my public service announcement. A lot of good college football this weekend. Coach Barnett rattled off his thoughts on the game. We like kind of like doing rapid fire. This is great, though, because you have Ohio State and Michigan, and they're at the tail end of some tough stretches. They meet each other. Man, and the smile on Coach D'Antonio's face during this answer is beautiful. It's priceless. And again, Coach D knows how and when to throw out the disrespect card and use it. He was asked about the point spread.
Ohio State comes out of a blowout loss, and you guys get a big win against a top 10 team, yet somehow you're a 16-point underdog.
I mean, it's gone 16, huh?
Is that, I mean, can you believe that, or what's your reaction to that? I know it doesn't mean much, you know, per se, but are you getting the respect that you deserve?
Oh, I don't worry about that, you know. Shoot, I saw where Graham had a article about the playoffs in the paper. I was like, wow, we've come a ways. So, I really think that that's for other people. I watch film, and I watch our players. I know we need to get better, and we need to do some things better on the field. And I also watch film to see how other people are playing, and we devise a plan to try and attack those things and try and be confident in what we're doing and make sure we play hard. And that's what we'll try and do. But I didn't know the spread, but there you go. We'll just have to roll the dice.
He absolutely loves this. More from D'Antonio. What we're going to do now Thursdays is find some of the best thoughts of the upcoming matchups of the weekend, college, pro, whatever, from coaches, players, and we'll roll through them here. Here's Coach D on Ohio State and that matchup.
Great challenge for our football team. I think the biggest challenge right now is, just continue to handle success as we go forward.
Okay, here's Gundy. Coach Gundy, no more crying in your beer here, Okie State fan.
Got to get over it. I don't want to hear anything about a throw. I don't want to hear anything about a drop coverage. I don't want to hear anything about getting tangled up and falling down, giving them a big play. The next team you're playing may not look as flashy on tape as some of the other teams we played with, you know, skill that goes all over the place and so on and so forth. But you're going to see a team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
All right, Iowa, Wisconsin, here's Paul Chris.
We're excited to be back home, but the opportunity to play against a really good Iowa team, and that's always a big game.
You know what we ought to do? Paul Christ is an awesome coach, great program. We ought to insert, like, swear word bleeps for Christ. We should do that. That's what we're going to do. Paul Christ, out of context. I know, like, Schick and Nick back in the day did, Nebraska football. It was hilarious, out of context. But if you could do Paul Christ, because he's totally your neighbor. It's raking the leaves or mowing the yard. We play Iowa this week. Be all right. Here is Brian Kelly. Don't ask him about Miami and Notre Dame. Don't ask him about to go down the Catholics versus the Convicts memory lane.
The rest of it is for you guys to talk about, and we're very respectful of that, and we're aware of that, and we love being in the position we're in. It doesn't help us in our preparation, though, for Miami, so it really doesn't do us any good spending time talking about it.
Okay, Saban. Man, Mississippi State's the best thing ever to play football.
Mississippi State is really a good team. They had a great year. They won seven games this year. Dan has done a really good job there in the years that he's been there. He's a great offensive coach. Always presents lots of issues and problems for the defense to adjust to.
Okay. Urban on Sparty. This was all right.
For the last, what's our sixth year playing them or something, it's just a prize fight. So the toughest, tougher team usually wins, and we got to understand what we're going to play against. Great respect for them, and they're playing well.
Mike Riley's done a great job of kind of owning things. I know there's some reasons they're young, there's injuries, and those are reasons as to why there's been some inconsistency. There also needs to be some coaching up, I think he would agree upon. But accountability, Riley's there. He's answering. David Shaw also shows an example of what accountability sounds like.
Like I said, I take full responsibility. It was not a good game by me. it was not good. And I have all the excuses, which I hate to hear from other people. I hate excuses. You know, we were backed up a couple of times. We were trying to establish the run. You know, we got positive field position. You know, we wanted to crack a run like we did. And then, you know, but the bottom line is we got to do a better job of mixing it up.
That's Shaw after Washington State won. And here is the Pirate after the win last week. Pretty good moment from the locker room.
The thing I want you guys to appreciate, we've had a few games like this, but the thing is, this is an incredible team win. And that's a great football team over there and a great tradition that we just came out on top of. Now, but the biggest thing I want you to take away from this game is nothing is really, really, really fun unless it's hard. Okay, nothing is really fun unless it's hard. And we've got to embrace that things are going to be hard, and we've got to embrace and be excited when things are hard, because then, and you guys will remember this game the rest of your life. And now there's plenty of games you'll forget, but you'll remember this one the rest of your life, and you've got to embrace and be excited about it being hard and playing extremely hard. If you get way up on somebody, even then you want to be as hard as you possibly can, because you're pushing yourself, and all of a sudden you're making great plays, you're doing things that you've never done before. So embrace the fact that it's hard. Never hope that it's easy.
That's the Pirate rally and the crew. We'll wind down a Thursday. A lot of fun today. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hey, I made it back from the editing job. Full practice report, HailVarsity.com. Mike Riley spoke. Opened things up with a joke on how much rugby tackling they did today. Beauty. Wonderful. Loved the show today. Enjoyed it. 80s action star Colton Stone in his Buffalo gear. Had a couple of former Buffaloes on. Uncle Jerry, Coach DiNardo, on coaching searches and being a part of a consultation network. He's his own guy that folks have and can and do reach out to. His take on the Diaco situation. Mike Babcock, 20 years ago. Today, Nebraska and Chevin Wiggins and Matt Davidson made that national championship a reality, staying alive and winning in Columbia. So we caught up with Babbers, his take on Minnesota this weekend as well. Coach Barnett, Dean Blevins on Stoops and the coaches in the Big 12 and the Nebraska job. And he heard from the a new thing we're dusting off. Does that make any sense? A new thing we're dusting off. An idea we're dusting off when it comes to the sounds of the weekend. Good matchups, great weekend action. Here's Paul Crist out of context. If you were to get him about 17 Morgan and Cokes deep, and he doesn't sound hammered, but just say language flares up when you have a couple.
We're excited to be back home, but the opportunity to play against a really good Iowa team, and that's always a big game.
Too many beeps. I overboarded it. There's a part in there, though, where it's really good Iowa team. Can we hear that part again? Maybe a little snippet of it. We might, I mean, Paul
play against a really good Iowa team.
Maybe. I don't know. The jury is out. Okay. 466-3776 800-825-5865. Can join us, can tap the line, Schilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Tomorrow on the show, we'll run down Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City star. Greg Smith will join us from Hail Varsity. Bill Dolman and Klausburn back from doing community service. And he'll join us for the Friday forecast. Again, stay away from Seattle and Arizona over-unders tonight. And just stay away from that game. It's my just most sincere piece of sound advice. It'll probably be like a 31-28 game of the year shootout, knowing me. I don't know. Colton, what do you got going tonight? Class?
Yeah, I got class, so I'm going to try to avoid that game too.
Okay. Do you ever lobby the Thursday night broadcast professor? Is that Schrader?
Yeah, it's Schrader.
Well, just say, bro, let's watch some Thursday night football.
Oh, we all crank it up on our computers if there's something going on.
Okay.
So he knows we're watching sports.
Okay. Well, as long as you're watching sports, if you're catching, you know, the end of Ozark, I'd lose my mind on you. All right, Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt, thanks for your time. Thanks for spending your Thursday with us. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.